Scripture reading this morning comes from Psalms 90, verses 10 through 14. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
Tim's comments about God being a giver reminded me of a passage that doesn't get nearly enough play, in my opinion, and that's Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84, verse 11, where the writer says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." That's worthy of meditation because it says that God loves to give. And if we are trying our best, nobody is perfect, we know that. But if we're doing our best to walk uprightly according to his will, no good thing will he withhold from us. Is that good news? I love that. I depend on that. And we're here to worship that God, the only true and living God. And we're here to say, Lord, thank you for being so kind, so gracious, so loving. We're so glad you're with us today. We're glad you came our way. And if you're visiting with us, we really hope you'll stay a minute or two and let us get to know you. If we can help in any way, we'd love to do that. And come back and join us anytime you can. You are indeed an honored guest. And Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. Hope you'll come and join us for that. We're going to be talking about under the influence. And no, it's not really a lesson about drinking, although it will allude to that briefly, but it's about the influence in which we walk daily. And we do it. I mean, there's no way around it. We all are under an influence. But what influence is it? How can we make sure it is the right influence? And so tonight, if you're under the right influence, I'll see you here at 6 o'clock. And let's study together from the Word of God and know more about what He wants us to do. It's a busy day. A lot of good things are going on. But let's get into our lesson now and find out more about what God has for us and how we can do better. We often sing the song or say the scripture, "This is the day that the Lord has made." And that is a very upbeat, good song. It encourages us no matter what we're going through. But today we could say, "This is the day that man has made." And we're not very happy about that. Talking about daylight saving time and losing an hour of sleep. No, we're not real happy, are we? If you are happy, you know, talk to me later. I want to find out what your secret is. We've even thought about maybe stopping halfway through the lesson and doing some jumping jacks or having a coffee cart go through the auditorium while we're in worship. But I'm going to depend on you to really give it an effort and let's stay attached here. But the idea of time, nobody likes this. And you just get on the internet and you'll see there are numerous efforts in the United States and in other countries where they observe this practice. Come on, let's stop this madness. Let's just make it one or the other and stay with that. Well, let's admit, we don't have a whole lot of control over that. We're not in positions of making changes, and therefore we just don't have much control. But it's a good time for us to think about time generally. And the idea is anybody in control? And of course, the Bible tells us God is. God is, in fact, the Lord of time. And there's a lot involved in that that I think we need to ponder now and then because it will affect the way we use our time. And so today, let's talk about the Lord of time What that means, what it means for us, and maybe some changes that we need to make in our lives as a result. First of all, let's talk about some truths in the Old Testament pertaining to time. Things that we find especially in the Old Testament that pertain to this idea of time and where it came from, what it's all about. Is anybody in control? First of all, I want you to notice, and this is the very first thing that we learn in the Bible, God is eternal. God is eternal. And if you understand what that word means, eternal, it means time doesn't apply. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the very first statement in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that means that creation took place, and we believe that. I believe that. I hope you do as well. Creation took place at a certain point in time. In fact, it was at the beginning of time. But notice, God was not created. God was already there. God was the one that created. And so that in itself is a statement about God being eternal. And I also want you to go down to verses 3 through 5 in that same section, Genesis chapter 1. And here we begin the listing of the days and all that took place. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And so there again, you see the idea that God was there. God was at the beginning. God created all of this. And of course, it was later that he created the sun and the moon. And the kind of light, we're not sure. It doesn't give us any specifics. But the idea is that God created light and separated light from dark. And that was the first day. Time began that day. God was there. God made it happen. God is eternal. Go to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. And let's talk about the name of God. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. And you may know that in Exodus 3, well, we're going to be talking about Moses and that burning bush and what he saw, what he heard. And it was God communicating to Moses in that burning bush. And here's part of what God said to him, and this is in response to the question, "Who will I tell the Israelites, who are you, Lord? What is your name?" And here's what God said, "I am who I am." And at first glance, that doesn't make any sense at all. It's like saying, "It is what it is." What does that mean? Well, it is what it is. God says, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you." That's the name of God, I am. Now, think about us. You know, if you go back about 65 years, a little more than that now, there was a time when Tim Hall was not. I could not say I am because I was not. I didn't exist, was not even conceived. And there will come a time in the future when physically I will not be able to say I am because I will not exist physically. Death will have taken me. But here God is saying, I am. I am who I am. That is eternally true. God is eternal. That's the idea of God's very name. And then here the way that it's put in Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 90, and here is a marvelous poem. We heard some of it earlier in the reading. And this is the only poem that we know, at least in the book of Psalms, that was attributed to Moses, rather. And here's what he says in the beginning of that psalm, Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God." And so that's the idea that we're looking about regarding time in the Old Testament. That is, number one, God is eternal. And that's where we begin. That's where everything begins, including time. But now let's go on to a second truth that we find in the Old Testament regarding time, and that is that God can impact time. God can impact time. Now, you may be thinking, well, we can do that. We did it last night. No, not really. That's just smoke and mirrors. What we did was we moved the hands of the clock forward 1 hour, and now we're going to grumble for a couple of weeks about that. But we've not really done anything about time. We've just manipulated how we observe time. But God can do things that impact time. Joshua chapter 10 is one place I would urge you to consider. Joshua chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 14. And here we have Israel taking possession of the promised land. It involves a series of battles, of course. There are already people that live there, and now God is bringing them into possession of that land. Here is a battle that is particularly hard. Several nations, several city-states have gotten together, and now Joshua needs more time. The battle is taking longer, and if they stop because of darkness, well, the enemy may have time to rally, to recover their energy. So what do we do? Well, let's listen to what it says in Joshua 10, beginning in verse 12. At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? The sun stopped in the midst of the heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. There has been no day like it before or since, when the Lord heeded the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So there the idea is that there was a day in the past where the sun actually stood still. Now that probably means the earth stopped rotating for a period of time. Again, we don't know all the specifics of how this happened. But we do know this, that Joshua called upon the Lord and the Lord heard him. That's what it says in verse 14. It was the Lord that did this, not Joshua. He impacted time. And then to see another example like that, go to Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah 38, and we're going to be looking at verses 7 and 8. Isaiah 38, verses 7 and 8. And now we're looking at King Hezekiah, who has been very sick. The prophet Isaiah has first told him, "You're going to die. You might as well get things ready." And then Hezekiah prayed fervently to God, and God heeded him. He said, "Okay, I will give you 15 more years of life." Hezekiah said, "How can I know that's going to happen?" I mean, it would be great enough for God to say that through the prophet, right? But Hezekiah wants to know, is there any way I can know that? And so here's what God responds with through the prophet Isaiah. "This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has promised. Behold, I will make the shadow cast by the declining sun on the dial of Ahaz turn back 10 steps." Now again, we don't know exactly how long that was. It doesn't specify what those steps are, whether it was minutes or 10 minutes each or what. We don't know. But the point is, time went backward as a sign for Hezekiah. Now I recognize the world will laugh at these ideas. They'll say, "Come on, really? The sun stops, the moon stops. Even if it's the earth that is rotating, it stops. Come on. And now you're going to tell us that the shadow of the sun goes backward? How can we believe that?" I believe in a God who is eternal, who is all-powerful, who can do whatever he decides is right. I have no trouble believing this. Beyond my understanding, absolutely. But there's a whole lot of things beyond my understanding, and yet I still accept. And here's again, one of them. God can impact time when he so chooses. And here's the third idea, the third truth about time in the Old Testament, and that is God's lordship over time. God is in control over time. Now, we already were moving in that direction. That's not a large leap now if we can understand that God is eternal and that God can impact time the way he has. But let's look at this idea that God is Lord over time. Isaiah 46, you're already there in Isaiah. Just turn a little further to Isaiah 46 and look at the second part of verse 9 and verse 10. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Now, is that a small thing for God to say, I can declare the end from the beginning? No, I can't declare the end of today. I mean, I often think, well, I know what I'm going to be doing today, and 2 or 3 hours later, wow, I didn't see that coming. I didn't know that person was going to call or that event was going to happen. You see, we don't know what the future is, but God does. He's proven it numerous times in his word, making prophecies years, in fact, decades or centuries in advance, and then they are fulfilled meticulously the way he has said. So God shows, I know time. I know what's going to happen in the future. I know what has happened in the past. In other words, he is the Lord of time. And then this statement in Genesis chapter 8, Genesis 8, verse 22. Here we find that Noah and his family have gotten off the ark. They've been on board over a year. When they come off the ark, there's a different kind of world. I mean, there's no people except what come off the ark. And now they're wondering, is this going to happen again? I mean, what's the point in going on? And God assures Noah with these promises. He says this in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. In other words, it's going to keep going on. I know God says, in effect, I know that what has happened has just kind of blown your mind. You wonder, can we depend on anything anymore? I promise you today that day and night, seed time and harvest, all of these things that we call time shall not cease as long as the earth remains. Now remember that phrase. We're going to come back to that a bit later. But God is making the promise. Now, how can you make a promise like that? You'd have to be able to make sure it happens. Exactly. And God has that power. God is Lord of time. And so while we think today and not very happily about how governments are in control of our time by telling us, okay, you're going to change your clocks tonight and lose an hour of sleep, well, they're not really much in control. But God absolutely is. He is the Lord of time. Now, based on those truths that we have seen in the Old Testament, let's now move to this idea, and that is when time shall be no more. When time shall be no more. Now, I could be speaking scientifically when I say that, in a sense. I mean, it's speculative science. Because I found this article in preparing this lesson, it was published in National Geographic, October 29, 2010, not very long ago, National Geographic, and the article is entitled, Time Will End in 5 Billion Years. Now, here's just an excerpt from that article. There's one theory for the origins of the universe that predicts time itself will end in just 5 billion years, just 5 billion years. Coincidentally, right around the time our sun is slated to die. And you've heard this, the idea that the sun is going to burn itself up, it's going to run out of fuel, it will implode, it will explode, and time will be no more. That's essentially what that is saying. In fact, that's the title of the article. And so there are those who are scientists that will say, well, yeah, we believe that time is going to come to an end. So do I. but not based on astronomy. It's based on what God has revealed to us. Let me take you through four or five passages very quickly and show that that's what the Bible teaches. 1 Corinthians 15, let's begin there. 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to look at verses 22 through 26. 1 Corinthians 15, 22 through 26. And you know that 1 Corinthians 15 is where Paul talks at length about the resurrection and when that will happen. And we know that will happen when Christ comes again. But there's more that will happen when Christ comes again. He begins in verse 22, at least begins for us. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Then it is coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end. Now, what end is he talking about there? Then comes the end. Well, let's read on. Let's see what else he goes on to say in that passage. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule, every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Now, death has not yet been destroyed. We know that all too well. Death is still a fact of our lives. But there's coming a day when even death will be destroyed and there will be no need to measure time. I mean, birthdays, they used to be fun. Not so much anymore, because it is counting down my time on earth. But that day is coming. The end will come and there will be no more death. In fact, that's very much in keeping with what Jesus said in John 10. John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. Listen to what he says. In fact, Jim Dearman this morning on Good News Today talked about this passage. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand." That's really good news. It says there's coming a day when I won't have any more birthdays. And I'm not talking about death now. I'm talking about eternity. Jesus said, "I'm going to give them eternal life." And that means there are no markers. There are no milestones in terms of chronology. There is no chronology. In Christ, we have the promise of eternal life. Go to the book of Revelation. Revelation 21, verse 4. Revelation 21 and verse 4. Again, talking about this idea of when time shall be no more. Revelation 21, verse 4. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Oh, praise God for words like that. It keeps us going even as we get older and more feeble. There is coming a day when death will be no more. Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 5. Essentially the same idea, but a little different image. Night will be no more. Night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light. They will reign forever and ever. Because there is no day. If you don't have night, it is one eternal day. And so again, that blessed idea of eternal life, death, time will be no more. And finally, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. And again, Peter's talking about the end times. We hear that phrase a lot. And it's important to see what the Bible actually says instead of what a lot of people have built around it. But the Bible does talk about the end times. And here's part of what it says, 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. "The day of the Lord will come like a thief." And that doesn't mean he's coming to rob us. It means it comes without warning. We don't know when that day is going to come. And so the idea is always be prepared. You don't know when a thief is going to come. And that's why you lock your house at night before you go to bed, I trust. Or why you lock your car when you stop and go inside a store. We don't know when a thief might strike. So the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. And many translations will say burned up. But the idea is, this is the end. The heavenly bodies will be destroyed. There'll be no day as we know it now. Time shall be no more. And if that phrase sounds a little familiar, let me refresh your mind if you need it. Because we have often sung in the past, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. I've heard many of you talk about what a beautiful morning this is, and how we love the sunshine, and how we love the warmer temperatures, but we're aware this will come to an end. You know, tonight the sun will set, or at least the earth will rotate, making it look like the sun sets, and cold, you know, we're still got blackberry winter and dogwood winter and all that kind of stuff. But the morning will break eternal, bright and fair. What a wonderful idea. What a precious promise. Delmore Schwartz, I'd never heard of him before this, but he was an author I found, wrote this in 1937. Time is the fire in which we burn. I think I understand what he's saying there. Like a log on the fire, it eventually burns up and is no more. That's not the happiest way to consider our lives, is it? Or time? Time is the fire in which we burn. And another image that we often have as we think about time, Father Time. That old fella walking around with this hourglass in his hand, and in the other hand, a scythe with which to reap his harvest. That's not very encouraging. I don't like to think of time in that way. And I don't have to, because the Bible says we have the Lord of time with us. And his purposes are all good. And one day, yes, time will be no more. But then for those who are ready, for those who have committed their lives to him and his son, it is one eternal day. Are you ready for that day? When is it, you say? I'll get ready if you tell me when it is. I can't tell you when it is. It could be today. It could be 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now. I don't know. And neither do you. So you be wise to prepare right now. If you're not a child of God, you've heard the message. Do you believe it? Do you believe especially that Jesus is the Son of God and that he came to this world to save your soul? And if you believe that enough, are you willing to turn away from anything he calls a sin, repenting of it? Will you confess him before this group today? And allow someone to bury you in water for a moment. And then coming up out of that water, you'll know, because you have obeyed the command of Christ, I am saved. I am forgiven. I am an heir of the King. And I will receive eternal life. Wouldn't you love to have that? You can have it because Christ offers it. And if you've done all those things and yet you've not been faithful, You're much more time-bound. You're thinking mostly about this world. Maybe you need to turn around. Maybe you need to repent of sin and pray for forgiveness. If we can help, please come as we stand and sing.